Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Kelly,
the host of Getting Real with Bossy, the real, raw, and honest podcast about small business ownership. With our experience, 9 businesses and over 25 years, we continue to bear it all and share what we wish we had known.
We move past the must-be-nices and start getting real. Come along as we interview small business owners and get the true story.
Leave with another tool for the next time you feel alone on this journey.
Hello, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Don. Looking for the perfect venue for your next event? We have what you need at the Union Tavern Restaurant and Event Space in Seabreeze.
Whether you're planning a large celebration for up to 120 guests or need a cozy, intimate space, we've got you covered. Check out the Brad Street, our hidden gem speakeasy, perfect for gatherings of up to 20 people.
With reasonable pricing, an exciting and inclusive menu, and no reservation fees for weekday groups, the Union Tavern makes hosting your event easy and affordable.
Celebrate in style right here at the Union Tavern.
Book today at the Union Tavern Seabreeze.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by Selena's Mexican Restaurant in Rochester, New York. We are proud to continue offering fresh-made, Mexican-inspired recipes that are affordable and served by Rochester's best. Check out our catering menu for groups of 10 to 2,000. Looking for something different to do? Selena's hosts monthly tequila tasting classes, as well as corporate team-building seminars. Check out the website to learn more, selenas.com, S-A-L-E-N-A-S.com. Come in and let us take care of the rest.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy with your host, Kelly Bush.
And Kelly Metris.
Today we are joined with Scarlett Stanhope, Scarlett the Biz Hippie. Welcome to the show, Scarlett.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I am super excited for this conversation today.
Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Scarlett, aka the Biz Hippie, and I am a money and abundance coach. And what I do is I help coaches, healers, entrepreneurs transform their relationship with money from the inside out so that you can feel in control of your money and use your money to create the life that you want to live. Because so often money is the thing that really holds us back from doing the things we want to do, pursuing our businesses, living our most fulfilling, thriving, and abundant lives now. And I truly believe that we can live our best lives starting today with the money that we have. And so that's really the mission that I bring forward into my business, is teaching people how to really harness the power of their money and use their money as a tool to create their best lives and go all in on the work that they love.
I love that. So how does one, I know, right? I'm how many years in and I'm ready to start. How does one start? What is your story that got you into this?
Yeah. So I previously was a like type A perfectionist, workaholic type of person. Like growing up, I was the perfect straight A student. And as a result, I was also an 8-year-old with migraine headaches because I was really like determined to fit into this societal box of success. And anytime I did something wrong or felt like I was imperfect, I took it really personally. And so that bled all the way from my childhood to my young adulthood when I first started working. And I was very successful in my work as well. You know, I started managing restaurants from the time I was 16, or no, I started working in restaurants at 16 and then managing restaurants by the time I was 18. I was working like crazy hours in charge of a large staff. And at the same time, I was getting my bachelor's in business management, accounting, and finance. I was saving 70% of every paycheck I was making. I was paying for college out of pocket. I had no credit card debt, no student loans. And by the time I was 21, I had like $30,000 in savings, and I was still maintaining my 3.9 GPA. So on paper, I was very successful. I was doing everything right. I was checking all the boxes. And yet at the same time, inside, I was miserable. I was unfulfilled. And if anything, I was actually depressed and suicidal. I felt like I was a zombie in my own life, and I was just waiting for life to start. I found myself in toxic work environments, in a relationship I should not have been in, and just like going with the flow of life, surrendering and just waiting and hoping that someday I would cross some magical threshold or reach some finish line that told me, like, oh, now you can start living for you. Now you can start deciding what's important to you and living that life. And I was really just putting my own life on hold until I hit a crazy rock bottom. I had a very scary near-death experience moment that really woke me up, and I realized, like, I am actually already living my life right now. I don't know what I've been waiting for, but it's up to me to really take back the control of my life, because I am the one that has got me to this place, and it's up to me to decide the kind of life that I want to live. And that's really when I started to shift away from the life I had been living previously. I really started my personal growth journey in discovering, who am I? What do I want? What's important to me? What does my best life look like? Not just these arbitrary versions of success and chasing lots of money for no reason. And that's when I, you know, developed my own personal growth in so many ways. And then a couple years later began my business, which I'm so passionate about. So I started my coaching practice. I also dove all in on saying yes to any opportunity that lit me up. So I got my yoga teacher training. I started traveling and attending retreats all over the country. I got other certifications and skill sets. And I just went all in on really living a life that I love now, today. And I realized that that was possible. And so that was then the expertise and experience that I started to bring forward into my coaching and into my business, is teaching other people how to create lives that they love today. And instead of money being the thing holding you back and keeping you stuck, having money be the thing that actually helps you create that life now.
I think so many people listening can understand what you just said and that story. I think we've all felt that way. And I think some of us still feel that way today, no matter our age and where we are in life. But I think we talk a lot about this, that societal expectation. Can you guys hear the background noise? It just got really loud outside my door. That's societal expectation, right? So the books we read, the shows we see, the magazines we read, like, it's everywhere of these things you're supposed to achieve in life and the person you're supposed to be. And that's from when you're a little kid, and that's men and women, right? Like, everybody's telling you what you're supposed to be. And then you think that someday your life is going to look different or look like this thing that you've created in your head. And even as a business owner, right? Like, we get, when does it start? Like, when does it happen? That magic moment where everything's going to look how it's supposed to look. And all the people are going to know I'm a business owner, and I get to reap in the benefits of business ownership. Well, it doesn't just happen. And it looks different for every person. It's never going to fit that box that we're told it's going to fit.
Yeah. Yeah. And one common, you know, conversation that I have, and that I honestly believe is a huge misconception, is this idea that once I get more money, then things will be better. Like, these problems that I have, these challenges, like the way I feel, my life is going to change. Then I'll have more time. Then I can stop hustling. Then I can start doing the things that I love and that are important to me. And the reality is, that's just not true. Like, I've worked with clients who have very little money. They're just living paycheck to paycheck, barely scraping by. And they feel the same way about money that other people do who actually are making really good, consistent income. They can still feel stressed about money. They can still feel like they're barely scraping by. They can still feel like they're living paycheck to paycheck, and they're just on this treadmill that they can't get off of, because it's not about the amount of money that you have. It's about your relationship to that money. And your relationship with money doesn't change as you add more money to it. If anything, you're just expanding and creating more of the current situation. In fact, I was just talking with a millionaire business owner yesterday who was saying, wow, I was chasing more and more profit, and I thought that someday I would arrive, but I never did. And by the time I got to that million, instead of being happy and feeling like I could take my foot off the gas, I felt like I was locked in, and I just had to keep going, and I had to keep hustling, and I had to keep burning out. And now these people were relying on me, and I was dependent on this income. And she was, like, curled up in her bed in a fetal position crying. And it's like, because those challenges don't go away with more money, you have to address the challenges that you're facing now today with the money you already have, and start living the life you really want to live now with the money that you already have.
It's so important, because if your relationship with money doesn't change, it's never going to be enough. There will never be enough money. Mm-hmm. And that, like, goes back to what Kelly was saying too, like, because the way we were raised, it's just, our relationship with money is so skewed and so backwards. We have to like almost retrain and reframe the way we think about things.
Yes, 100%. And I think that there are some core misconceptions across the board that we just all seem to have inherited or experience in our modern day society. And I like to refer to these as the three scarcity seeds, which are the three most common scarce-based beliefs that so many of us just take as normal. We're like, ah, this is just the way it is. And this is just truth, but it's not inherently true. And the first one is worthiness, like I'm not worthy or deserving, I'm not good enough, right? Or I need to do better or do more or be better in order to be worthy and deserving. We attach our worth to external circumstances. So that's the first one. The second one is not enoughness, this idea that there's not enough to go around. This is around competition, that life is a pie and there's only so many slices to be had. And if I take too big a slice, then that means someone else isn't getting any. So then I'm a bad person because there's not enough to go around. There's not enough for me. And then the third one is what I call starving artist syndrome, which is the idea that the option is either or. Either you can do work that you love that's really fulfilling, but you're going to be broke in the process. You cannot make money doing that. Or you can make lots of money and be financially supported and be very responsible, but you're going to hate your job. It's going to suck. You're not going to love it. And there's no way that you can have both. And all three of these beliefs are common. We take them as inherently true, and they keep us stuck in this perspective and this life of scarcity, hustle, burnout, and living unfulfilling lives now because we think we have to. But all of these beliefs are just that. They're ideas, and they're not based on reality.
Well, and I think there's the worthiness, too, kind of sticks out. And I think that there's more to that, even like having to prove it. So I'm not worthy of this position and this income or this revenue or this profit, but I have it. So I have to work harder to prove that it's okay that I have it. Or I have to show people I'm worthy of having it by hustling and working harder and constantly be doing things. I remember I've mentioned this before in other episodes when my therapist asked me why I had to work so much. And I was like, we're not talking about, like, that's next year's problem. It's like, halt, change the subject, you know, but there's a lot to it. And, you know, she made me talk about it and think about it a lot of, and that's where it really stems from, is that worthiness and that having to prove yourself. You have to prove that you're worthy. You have to prove that it's okay that you have it, or that you're doing your worth and that's why you get it. You're part of the pie, right? If there's not enough to go around, I have to prove why I have the money that I have, why I have the things that I have. So yeah, that sticks.
Yeah, and I think that it's just ingrained societally from childhood, which we've already started to touch on and talk about. And when you're a child, it's not really around money, but it is around love and affection and attention from your parents. And just think about, you know, growing up, when you first start going, even before you go to school, and you're like, oh, when I'm quiet, when I'm a good girl, like, then I get praise, then I get attention. And then you go to school, like, when I check these boxes, when I do a good job, then I get a good grade, then I get praise and attention. It's like, really conditioned to believe that when you act a certain way, when you show up a certain way, when you behave in alignment with, you know, what your parents want, what your teachers want, then you're worthy and deserving, versus the inherent truth of, like, you are worthy and deserving just through your existence alone and allowing that to truly be enough.
You are enough. So how do you think that people can get around, like, that discomfort and that fear of those scarcity seeds, and that even just talking about money in itself, right? So, like, not necessarily getting past their issues with money, but even the first couple of steps of being able to talk about it or to not be terrified of it.
Yeah, I think really the first step comes around awareness. We have to first recognize what our current relationship with money is, and even that we have a relationship with money, because so often we just take this as inherently true, especially because we're like swimming in a world where so many people believe these things. It's kind of like we're fish in water and we don't realize that we're in water because it's just the reality that we live in. Same like we're breathing air all the time, but we might forget about the air, or there was a point in time where we didn't know the air was there and yet it always was. And so starting to bring awareness to, one, the fact that you actually have a relationship with money, and then starting to pull apart, what is your actual relationship with money? And is it one rooted in these different versions and forms of scarcity, and then starting to pinpoint, like, where does this come from? Where did I learn these beliefs that I just accepted as true of me not being good enough, me not being worthy and deserving, needing to work harder, needing to make more, needing to hustle, needing to push, believing that if I really love what I do and I really enjoy my business, then there's no way it can be profitable because it's wrong for me to accept that money. And just starting to recognize, like, what are the core beliefs under your current relationship with money, and how is that impacting you in your life, in how you, you know, take steps in your life, how you choose to spend your money, the kind of effort you output, how you behave, what you think about yourself, what you feel about yourself, and how it's impacting your business. Because your relationship with money shows up in your business in huge ways. It can totally hold you back from achieving the success that you really desire, or really, you know, the reason why so many people go into business is to feel that freedom. But you can easily feel stuck and not have that freedom. So the very first step is awareness around everything that we're talking about.
Definitely shows up in business and you know, entrepreneurs and small business, it's all intertwined. We talk about that all the time. You know, your personal finances and your business finances are so intertwined that however you treat your money at home is how you're going to treat your money at work. And you brought up a good point of your choice, right? You get to choose how you spend your money. You get to choose what you save for, like your value systems, what's important to you. And those things are going to show up in your work too. So
That's a good point. Yeah, and I think that is really the second step. Like, the first step is bringing awareness to your relationship with money and starting to shift your mindset and your belief system around your money and, like, really repatterning these core beliefs. But then the next step, and another way that this supports this process, is learning to see your money clearly and track and manage your personal finances and your business finances. And that actually can really enhance the mindset in a lot of ways, because I find people who are stressed about money, or it feels like no matter how hard you work or what you do, it never feels like enough. Even when you do make more money, it still feels like you're just money in, money out, living paycheck to paycheck. The number one reason why you feel stressed about money is because you don't know what's happening with your money. And what you're afraid of is actually the unknown around your money, because you can have a good amount of money but still have that fear under the surface of, oh, but it's going to go away, or it's going to get spent, or what's going to happen to it. And it feels like money is out of your control. And that's the part that is scary. But when you get your money down on paper, what happens is suddenly you are in control of it. You can see clearly what is happening. And because you can see what's happening, then you can do something about it. You can't do something about something that you can't see. You can't see the actual problem. You can't see the actual situation. So I found that 70% of your money stress goes away once you get your money down on paper, once you can face reality, even if your money situation hasn't changed at all. And even if you are genuinely living paycheck to paycheck and barely scraping by, because now suddenly the control is in your hands. And that tangible piece of money ties into the mindset, and the money mindset ties into how you manage your money and how you feel about the choices that you make with your money.
It's got to be so therapeutic for what you do for people. I think it's so interesting. I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying. And I think for me personally, I have a horrible relationship with money, just kind of for how I was raised and things that were brought up. And once I really had a better understanding, I think one of the best things for me getting a handle on how I dealt with money was getting hacked and like, everything, like I had to change everything. I was like, oh, there was so much money going out that I had no idea about. And like, I had to start fresh. I'm like, oh, now I have control of where things are going. And it was a wonderful, like, start over moment. But like, for what you're doing, it has to be so therapeutic for people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I love that example.
Almost a form of therapy, what you're doing.
Yeah. And I love that example, too, because that's so common that, you know, a lot of the people I talk to have fear and resistance when I say manage and track your money, right? It feels like budgeting. I don't want to be limited. I don't want to be restricted. But it comes back to exactly what you just said, which is putting the control back in your hands. And if you can't see what's happening with your money, then you're making passive decisions with your money. You're just on subconscious autopilot. And when that happens, money is just slipping through the cracks. And it feels like you're not in control of it. Versus being able to see clearly what is actually happening and make those conscious decisions, intentional decisions that are really in alignment with the kind of life that you want to live. And once you do this, yes, it is therapeutic because your relationship with money is just a reflection of your relationship with yourself. When you heal your relationship with money, you're doing some of the deepest forms of personal growth because it ties into survival, safety, worthiness, your whole identity of being worthy and deserving. Like, that's really deep shit. Is like all built into your relationship with money. So that's the first piece that is, you know, uncomfortable and challenging. But then beyond that, once you've done that foundational work, you have shifted your mindset and you can see your money clearly, and you can manage it and track it, and you're in control of it, that's when your money becomes a powerful tool for manifestation. Because your money is how you make choices about your life. It's how you make decisions, and it's how you create the life that you are currently living right now. You're just doing it passively and unconsciously. But when you get conscious and intentional with your money, and you spend your money in alignment with the life you want to live, in alignment with your values, in alignment with your priorities, in alignment with your vision, that's how you make that life true. That's how you bring that vision into reality.
It's so easy these days. Everything's electronic. It's auto pays. It's tap and pays. It's swipes, right? It's push a button. It's the money doesn't change hands. So writing it down, you know, I remember the first time I actually, for a financial advisor, had to like make a chart of my personal finances. So like business is easy. I have everything in the QuickBooks. I have, you know, if QuickBooks wants to sponsor us, they can. I have everything itemized and I can see where things are spent and I can track and I, you know, look through my credit card statement every month and make sure it lines up. And on the personal side, you're just like, I don't have time for that. Like I don't have a budgeting software or like a bill pay software. Like I'm just paying shit and going. And just seeing where we were spending our money was very surprising, you know, and the cost goes up. I know that our patterns haven't changed much. I pretty much pay for the same things every month. We go out to eat the same amount of times, you know, but my credit card bill has doubled in the past 5 years from where it was before, and being like, oh crap, where do I cut, right? What can I cut? Because it feels like you can't cut anything. It feels like you don't have a choice, that you're just surviving. But when you actually itemize where that money is getting spent, and that's for both sides, right? You itemize and you look, and we've talked about that a lot, of like using your software programs to look at where you're spending your money at work, and you can do it at home too. And is this necessary? Is this something I want? Are my, you know, we just talked about in our last episode, are my, you know, auto renews jumping in price without telling me? Are my contracts up to date? You know, what am I spending on product? What am I spending on payroll? Where can I fix things so that you can have the money to be intentional? Because when you are in that survival mode and that tap and go, just you'll pay for it eventually. Like it's like growing on trees or something. It's scary to think, oh, I'm going to sit down and actually take the time to look at every dollar spent. I don't know that any of us really want to know. I mean, we want to know, but do we really want to know where every dollar is spent?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think like this is such a common thought process of like, oh, it takes so much time and I don't really want to know. I just want to be free. Like, I really don't want to have to think about it. In fact, my goal is to make so much money that I don't have to think about it. I can just say yes to whatever I want because I don't want to see. But I have such a different perspective on it and such a different relationship. And my clients too, they tell me all the time, like they get to a point where tracking their money and managing their money actually becomes fun. Because again, it's you really being in control of your life, right? Like that's right. What it is. And I believe if you truly trusted yourself, if you truly trusted yourself with your money, if you trusted yourself with the decisions that you're making for your life, then you would have no fear or no resistance of looking at where you spend your money, because where you spend your money is just how you're manifesting this life you're currently living. And so for me, it's actually really fun to look back and say, oh, what am I choosing? What am I prioritizing? What am I manifesting? How did I create this life that I'm living today by looking back at what I spent the past month? And then moving forward, what's important to me? What goals do I want to achieve? What do I want to work towards? And how do I really want to put effort and attention and intention into creating those goals? And so it's like a reflective tool to see how you're creating what you're creating. And it's a tool for manifesting and creating the life you want to live moving forward. And sometimes there can be discomfort around that if you're like, I don't have millions of dollars. I can't just spend on everything that I want. And I feel like I have to sacrifice and choose between things that are important to me. But I also believe that that brings value into your money. For example, like if you only had 24 hours to live and you knew that, you would spend each of those 24 hours very consciously, very intentionally. You would only do the things that are really most important to you. And that would make those 24 hours highly valuable 24 hours versus when you're like, I got 50 years to live, and you spend like a lot of it watching Netflix and doing things that like really isn't important to you. Like when you imagine that you have an overabundance, that's when you start wasting and devaluing what you have. So it's the same with your money. Like if you only have $100 to spend, this is really a huge opportunity to decide what is most important to you. What do you truly value? What do you truly prioritize? And if anything, those $100 are more valuable than if you had $1 million to spend. And so it goes so much further. It's so much more potent. And I believe the next question to consider is, are you spending your money in alignment with your vision? Like in your vision, you have certain things that are important to you, certain things that you do prioritize, and are you actively prioritizing those things right now with the money that you have, even if it is just $100?
So what I'm hearing is that we are worthy of controlling our money.
Yes, exactly. It's like it's such an opportunity to get to be the one in control of your money. And I think as well, too, it's not only are you worthy of it, the reality is you actually are already in control of your money, whether you're ignoring it or not. Like, and you're the
like
one.
Like it or not, right.
Right. You're the one doing it. You're the one doing it. And it's just up to you to make it a conscious process instead of an unconscious process.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Is it terrifying or is it like empowering to recognize?
Exactly.
Right.
Empowering.
Usually the terrifying things are the things that make us feel empowered once we accomplish them.
Yes.
The accomplishing exactly. The terrifying.
Harness that terrifying feeling.
Harness yes. It.
And it's because like your money is really the foundation that underpins so many things too. And that's why it can be so scary and uncomfortable and intimidating, is because really when you do this work, it changes every area of your life. It bleeds into every area of your life. It can lead to the business success. It can lead to the life success. And really it's just being faced with, oh, wow, I have all the power in the world and control over my life, and I can manifest and create whatever I want and just really step into my vision. And I believe that there are subconscious parts of us that are actually really intimidated by that. There are parts of us that don't want to be successful. We don't really want to achieve our goals. We don't really want to step into our vision. And so that's really what the work is are you ready to take control over what you already have control over?
Because it's terrifying. Let's talk about the other side of that. And this is something we haven't really touched on in this series yet, is when you're not doing those things, right? When you're not addressing that you're in control, when you aren't taking those, you know, value aligned steps and those manifestation steps and aren't in alignment, the effect on your physical health, I know personally in relationship hell too, you know, my husband and I went through an awful year last year. Our finances, they're not great still because of last year, but we have taken more control over it. We have ups and downs now, but last year was awful. Like physically, stress, emotionally, you know, weight gain, health, fibromyalgia, like you name it. But I think that's something we don't address is how that affects us internally.
Yeah. Yeah. I think your relationship with money plays a huge role in your physical health, just like it plays a huge role in your business health, your relationships. Like it really does bleed into every single area of life. And it's because of everything that we project onto our relationship with money. And really, our money is our foundational form of survival. That's really what it comes down to, is we depend on our money in order to survive. And so if you're feeling stressed about money, whether it's like a very prominent present stress or whether it's a low grade stress just in the background, it can put you in this chronic state of fight or flight. And being in this chronic state of fight or flight impacts your health in a really big way, because if your sympathetic nervous system is activated, you're unable to rest, restore, digest. Like your body literally can't even digest food at the level that it's supposed to. So you're not even able to take in and receive the nutrients that you're giving to your body. You're unable to rest and restore. And being in a constant state of fight or flight is what causes your body to break down, your immune system to be suppressed, and for you to start to have major health issues. And so that's really the foundation, is if you're chronically stressed about money, you're in a fight or flight state, and that can impact your health in so many ways. But that's also just one version. The other version of this is if you're stressed about money, the things around your health are the first thing to go. They are the things that we easily cut out. Like we're so unlikely to have a gym membership. We tell ourselves like, of course I can't afford organic local produce. Like no way. The only thing I can afford is McDonald's, right? So we start sacrificing our self-care for convenience and for these things that we believe we can afford. And so that's another way, is when we're stressed about money and when we're not intentional with our money, we are no longer prioritizing our self-care and our needs to prioritize ourselves, which just, you know, contributes to this downward spiral. And if your health isn't there, that's actually going to just contribute even more to the money stress, because often the chances are, like if you're in this situation, you're also in hustle and grind mode and needing more money and not having enough. And so if your health is declining, then you're not able to work as much, and then you're not making as much money. And it's really just a harsh downward spiral. And this is what can lead to burnout.
Yeah.
I think it's also not just I can't afford this membership, because you don't always need a membership, right? Or I can't afford these groceries. I don't have time to go grocery shopping, so I'm going to run through the fast food. I don't have time to go to the gym or go take a walk or be in nature or do the things that I know I need to do, because I need to be hustling. I need to be making more money, right? Like I need to figure this out. So when you're in that fight or flight with money, you're giving up the time and the energy in addition to the cost.
Yes, exactly.
Or you just don't have it in you. I'm like, I'd rather lay on the couch. I actually have a half an hour. I'm going to go lay in the fetal position instead of taking a walk.
Yeah, exactly. Because time, energy, and money are all connected and interwoven. Those are really the three creators or the three actions that we can take in our life. Like anytime you spend time, energy, or money on anything, you're creating something, you're manifesting something. So your relationship with money is very much likely reflected in your relationship with time and energy. And if one of those things is off, that's going to bleed into the other ones, right? If you are feeling stressed about money, it's going to impact your time. It's going to inflate the amount of time and effort you need to put into things, versus if you like have issues with time, like that's going to impact your money. So all three of those things are connected. And so really, like these foundational money stressors that we're talking about, like can bleed into and impact every single area of your life, and especially your business.
So let's circle to strategies for helping us small business owners when we're in those fight or flight moments, or those, you know, struggles with money. What are some suggestions you have?
Yeah, and I think this is really important because we didn't even touch on this, but just how if you're in scarcity, that's going to impact your business in many ways, right? Like if you're in a need and get energy and you're bringing that into your sales calls and your marketing, like people can feel that. No one wants to spend money on somebody who's like really desperate and is like, please buy my thing. Like I really need to pay my bills this month. So it impacts your business through how people perceive your energy. It impacts the way you show up to your business. If you're like super stressed and you just like zone out and block out and you're not able to put in the energy and effort into your business, right? Like it really shows up in your business in so many ways. And so starting to shift your relationship with money is the foundation to growing a really successful business, like a successful business that's also able to support you financially, not just making tons of money in your business, but then having to hustle and burn out to maintain it. And then, you know, still feeling the same way that you feel now. So the solutions, the steps to this are one is to uncover your seeds of scarcity is like we talked about at the beginning, recognize what's your current relationship with money, what scarcity seeds are impacting you, what beliefs have you been operating from, what has been your default, what has been your autopilot, and why? Where did you learn these things? And how is that showing up in your day-to-day with all the decisions that you make in your life, especially the decisions around money? And that awareness is really powerful because once you can see clearly what's happening, that's when you can start to change it. The next step is financial awareness, right? So we've gotten that internal awareness of what's going on inside, but then we need to see clearly what's actually happening with the money. And that's a powerful reflection of what you're choosing, what you're prioritizing. And it's actually going to be a reflection of your internal patterning and belief system. And so seeing clearly what is actually happening. And then from there, that's when we can shift these things. And the next step that I recommend to my clients is let's get really clear on the life you actually want to live. What is your vision? What is most important to you? And from there, how can we align your money and your thoughts and feelings around money with that life, with that vision? And just a simple example of this, right? Because I'm not saying just be like, well, in my vision, I can just spend millions of dollars on a purse when I want it. So I'm just going to start doing that now and throw it on a credit card. Like, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, how can you make sure you're prioritizing what you prioritize in your vision, not based on the amount of money, but based on the thing itself? So one example is, in my vision, when I have lots of money, when I'm super abundant, I am a philanthropist. I donate to causes that are important to me. I know that's a part of my vision. And so for the whole entire lifetime of my business, even when I was making no money, I was in the red, I was like working other jobs to pay for my business, I always donated to causes that I cared about because that was a representation of me being successful and abundant. And it wasn't like I donated hundreds of dollars. It was just like a couple dollars every month. But that intention of I must be successful because I donate to causes that I care about. And then continuing to live that life, continuing to align your money, your thoughts, your feelings with your vision. And then that's how you bring that vision into reality. That's when you open up the door to abundance. And so then when more money does start to flow in, you already have the foundations of being intentional, being aligned with your money. So then you can do more. You can donate more money in the future. And it might not be donating for you, right? Like another example is I started painting my own nails because I said, yes, as a six-figure business owner, I go to the nail salon and I get my nails done. So as a six-figure business owner, I must have painted nails. And so that's me, again, creating that now with my money. I might not be spending the whatever it costs to get your nails done at the salon, but I did spend the $8 on the bottle of nail polish and dedicate the time to painting my own nails, right? So those are really the steps, is bring awareness to your money, your thoughts and your patterning around money, get clear on the vision of the life you really want to live if money wasn't an issue, and align your money and your thoughts around money with that life now.
Brilliant.
I think it actually, I have a thing behind me that I think lines up with, and it's not the Sharknado poster, though we could talk about that later.
Are you sure?
hey, the thing next to the Sharknado poster says, Next time you're afraid to share ideas, remember someone once said in a meeting, let's make a film with a tornado full of sharks. So whatever it is that you think that you can't do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that's on the wall, is no matter what you think you can't do, someone walked into a very high-powered exec meeting and said, let's make a film with a tornado full of sharks. And they've made like 8 of them. To add that on. But the one I was going to mention is I have this little sign, and it's Henry Ford. If you think you can, you can. And if you think you can't, you are right. And I think that knowing your money gives you the power to think you can. Because if you don't know your money, you're never going to think you can. And if you don't think you can, you never will.
Yes. Yes. I love that. And that's really, again, going back to what happens when you can see your money clearly and you can feel safe and regulated and solid in that, when you detach your self-worth from that money and you can feel solid in yourself no matter what the numbers say, then from there, your whole entire life just becomes, how can I make this happen? Instead of like having the control in money's hands and waiting for money to someday say, yes, you can do these things, you're putting the control back in your hands and you're saying, okay, well, if I want to take a trip to Thailand, how can I do that? How can I plan for that? How can I make that happen? How can I craft the steps to bring that into reality? If I want to go full time in my business, how can I plan for that? How can I make that happen? And maybe it might take longer than I expect to implement, but I know I'm working towards it, instead of just like, well, someday, hopefully money's going to decide that I can do these things, but the control's in money's hands. It's totally different.
Yes, you are money.
Exactly.
Well, I am loving this conversation. I feel like we could talk forever. I think every listener understands how their relationship with money affects not only their daily life, their business, but also their personal health, whether we want to admit it or not. So thank you so much for chatting with us today. And if people want to reach out and talk with you more, consult with you, or possibly hire you, how would they reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I love to offer, when I'm on podcast shows, a special gift, which is a free 30-minute abundance activation session with me. And during these sessions, we explore where you currently at with your relationship with money, what scarcity seeds might be impacting you. And I help you to bring awareness to your current relationship with money and what could be keeping you stuck. We also get clarity around what is your vision? What does that life look like? And I give you some clear steps for how to bring that vision into reality. So, and then if you want to explore work together from there, we can also make time to have that conversation as well. And you can book that call with me on my website, thebizhippie.com/activate.
I love that. And I love the Biz Hippie. It's such a fun name.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for being on the show, Scarlett. We hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much for having me. I love this conversation today, and I'm so grateful for your show.
Awesome.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.